Well, welcome to another podcast. This is Brian Madden, and today is February 27th, 2007. And we're actually recording this podcast from an empty conference room in Nice, France, getting ready for tomorrow's Citrix Ardent Partner Summit. And this is a bit of a new format in terms of the podcast. I was talking with the people earlier, and I mentioned I go around very often and record podcasts, and there's a lot of great content, a lot of great interviews and conversations we have, but then I never get around to actually editing the podcast and putting it together into a real show. So what we decided to do this time is we're just going to sit down, have a conversation, and press record on the player, and then kind of whatever happens with our conversation, we'll click stop, save it, post it to the website. So this is our intro, this is our theme music, this is everything. So again, our topic today is Citrix Ardents, and sitting around the table are four people from Ardents, so I wonder if just we can go around real quick and each of you can introduce yourselves.
Hi, I'm Jeff Hibbard. I'm the director of marketing for Ardents, a Citrix company.
And my name is Mark Yohai, and I'm responsible for our alliance and distribution activities.
My name is Brian Carter. I'm a marketing manager for Ardents.
My name is Pete Downing. I'm a solutions engineer for Ardents.
All right, well, let's first talk about, Jeff, what you said, Ardents, comma, a Citrix company.
Right.
So, December. Ardents is bought by Citrix. What's that like?
Well, it's been fantastic for us. You know, Ardents was a growing company. We had grown from over the last 3 years from about $900,000 in sales to about $7.5 million for the Ardents streaming solution. But for us to really take it to the next level, we needed to have a partner with a good distribution channel that could really help us grow the company and become something and let the technology really start to play out in the market a lot faster. And Citrix has been a fantastic fit for Ardents.
Yeah, I can say definitely the market reaction has been, I think that people sort of understand why Citrix bought Ardents a lot sooner than even, for example, when they bought Net6 or NetScaler back in the day. So this was one of the things I think that probably the whole market agreed this is a really natural fit. And I can say from my own personal experience, you know, I've been talking about Ardents as technology for a little while, and the biggest... I don't know what I'm going to call it. Kind of the first reaction is that I get when I explain it is who? Who is this? So certainly having the Citrix name probably can't hurt.
Yeah, sure is. You know, when we call customers, they now call us back. It's always a good thing.
Now, I wonder, you know, I think everyone listening to this podcast is familiar with Ardents' technology, and I'll actually post links in the program notes so that we don't have to kind of spend a lot of time going over how it works and what it is and that kind of stuff. But I wonder. But I'm kind of curious. You know, Ardents really was two groups or two product groups. I don't know how you do that. There was this OS streaming stuff, which was what sort of interesting to us in the application delivery space. And I assume that was what was most interesting to Citrix. But then Ardents also had another division that did something with embedded devices and software or something like that.
Correct. Yeah. So the embedded business has been very valuable because it's a good, solid, growing business. And in today's environment, really, formerly, devices like controllers on a shop floor were standalone. A robot might be a standalone kind of function. And what we're seeing now is a lot of these embedded devices are all starting to be interconnected. And when you, once you wire up these embedded devices, now you can actually deliver the operating system and new sets of applications. And so this has a great opportunity for even further synergy in the future, where the Ardents streaming service could actually deliver embedded operating systems to devices on shop floors or in different kind of scenarios throughout a hospital, as an example, for heart devices or what have you. So there's lots of potential. Right now, it's still being managed as an independent business, and it does have the streaming product for the device, we call it the device edition. That group is starting to introduce it to partners like Siemens and other partners like that.
So it sounds like that's actually, I guess, something that I didn't know, because I just assumed that the device business had nothing to do with the other business, and Citrix would probably just turn on and sell that or something like that. But it sounds like that there is actually some ways those can kind of be integrated together.
Yeah, well, another way to think about it, you know, a thin client actually needs an operating system, and what does it take today to actually upgrade the thin client OS? It can be quite tricky if you have an embedded OS, and if you were to use streaming, you can now stream out a thin client OS. You could stream out a point-of-sale OS. Kiosks, you could stream out gaming devices as an example.
But isn't that what Ardence's main OS streaming business is? I mean, how does that relate to the other side of the business? That's the...
So when you get in, so the other part of the business, the embedded business, has a couple, it's kind of complex to really drill into here, but what they offer is some, what's called determinism or real time. So for some kinds of applications, you really require
like something real running locally.
Locally. It's interrupt driven, so that as soon as there's a hardware requirement to interrupt the hardware, you need to have some way to interrupt Windows from delivering.
So a lot of people listen know our colleague Emily Monaco,
right,
and her husband Chris writes software for satellites. And just Saturday night, he was explaining to me about what a real-time OS was and how it worked and everything. So that's part of what
topic for another podcast.
Yeah, of course. Okay. So I wonder if we can just kind of have a bit of an update, because I know that I guess first of all I should just kind of explain my history with Ardence, and a lot of people know that I first wrote about Ardence, it was about a year ago, I guess it was February of 06, and it was interesting because I think you guys contacted me and said, hey, we have this streaming something, and I'd gotten, I don't know how many millions of emails about some vendor with some solution and wanting me to look at, and it had streaming in the name, so that almost made me more scared of it, and so I went up there, and the demo I tell people, or the story I tell people, of course, is I go up there and to your office and I go into to your lab that has just rack after rack after rack after rack of desktop PCs with monitors, rack after rack after rack of monitors, and I walk in there, I'm like, ever heard of a KVM? and I don't remember who is giving the tour. We're like, hang on a second. And they kind of said, basically, what do you want these things to be? Do you want them to be servers? Do you want them to be workstations? Do you want them to be, Linux, whatever? And he hit a button, and then immediately, boop, 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 right before our eyes, the flurry of, hundreds of these workstations turn on all at the same time. So whether it was because you got free monitors with all your laptop or with all the purchases, it was a very cool demo for me to kind of get, like, just what it meant to multiple, to boot all these things off of a central OS. And then, of course, the typical demo where you can pull the power cord to one of the switches for one of the racks, and that caused all of them to freeze exactly where they were because they lost their connection, and then the others continued to boot, plugged it back in, they continued again. So that was kind of, after I saw that demo, that was kind of where I'm like, okay, I'm listening.
Yeah.
Go on. So that was kind of interesting. But that was, a year ago.
Right.
So what's happened in the world of Ardence? Apart from Citrix buying you guys in December, what's happened with Ardence in the past 12 months or so?
Just one comment before you answer that question is the seeing is believing is really a big challenge for us, because it sounds too good to be true that we can actually stream the whole OS and application stack to a client device and have it run locally. So I'm glad you can attest to the fact that we have this server room of 250 PCs that can take on the life of whatever kind of software stack that you want. Maybe we should have Mark talk a little bit about some of the efforts been going on internationally, and that's why we're here in Nice. But we've really been growing through partnerships. Mark also works with many partners in the United States and in Japan, as well as Europe, and that's where a large part of our efforts have been.
We've been evangelizing. We've been getting the message out. We've been getting customers to adopt it through that seeing is believing approach. It is conceptually so simple, a lot of people don't get it until they see it. Probably the biggest change in the last 6 months is the realization in the marketplace that what we've been doing for desktops since the beginning of the technology almost 5 years ago really applies to any device. It can be a server, can be real, can be virtual. And so that's really what's created a snowball effect. It's really helped us in our partnering efforts, and those partners have been able to go to customers and help them solve a very wide swath of problems they have in their IT infrastructure and in application delivery. So we've been going forward, and if anything, the momentum has continued to build, and with Citrix, which rocks.
Is your bonus tied to how often you say Citrix rocks?
I only said it once.
Yeah. All right.
But yes,
first
it is.
Time.
Yeah.
Well, and I know certainly I think it's in Japan, right? They're using it in schools where you've got a lab full of PCs for students, and you walk in and you get it's a boot menu, right?
So 75% of the public universities are Arden's customers. We haven't penetrated all their seats yet.
In Japan or in the...
In Japan. We've begun to move from universities in Japan into local prefectures who have also thousands of PCs. We've done the same with our partners in Brazil, where we have tens of thousands of desktops in schools and community centers as part of digital inclusion for those markets. And here in Europe, we're really just beginning, which is why we're here to kick this conference off.
And I guess a lot of it, so Citrix has, 4,000 employees now. Probably before they announced they're acquiring you, probably 200 of them had heard of Ardent, right? So I guess a lot of what you're doing right now, because of course I'm sure Citrix has a big public sector group and these different groups, and I've got to sort of, I guess, explain to them how it works also, as opposed to the public at large.
Oh, that's absolutely true. Again, it comes back to the concept of what we do is fairly simple. You run a device without installing any software on it first, but people do need to get their head around the concept. So whether they're internal, external, customers, or partners, we still have a big job to continue to demonstrate what we do, how we do it, and what the value is in any given case.
But speaking of the value, when you start to understand how it can change the dynamics for how you manage your server farms, how you manage your desktops, the economics are just so compelling in terms of the value that you get. Sometimes it's having fewer servers to deliver the same amount of functionality by repurposing servers on the fly. Sometimes it's just the pure maintenance of trying to maintain server farms. Server consistencies, server builds are more consistent because you're streaming multiple servers from a single image. So you can really create stacks that are very valuable.
And it's interesting because you're talking about the servers there, and then we just talked about the students in Japan, which are our desktops. And I guess that's kind of part of the, I don't want to say crossroads really, but part of the challenge, right? Mm-hmm. Is so you started out with desktops, and now you're moving to servers. But really, especially if you look at with what Citrix brings to the table, there's kind of a couple of different places you play, right? Because I guess on the one hand, I mean, the paper I wrote a year ago was focusing just on servers, and so you can. Do you have a new word for stream? Do you still call it streaming the OS or network mounting?
Software streaming is the term that we still use. But, of course, that's a little bit confusing because there's something called application streaming.
Yeah, okay.
And so we have we've tried to distinguish a little bit by saying we do OS streaming and some part of application streaming. Application streaming actually does two things. One, it does application delivery and application isolation. So when you start to look at it, you can say, hey, we do not do application isolation, but we do application delivery.
So you guys work on that Venn diagrams for your PowerPoints and explain how that works?
Yeah. We have a lot of PowerPoints.
Yeah.
Great.
The simple way that I explain it is, application delivery technologies, whether it's CPS or Tarpon or SoftGrid, these kind of technologies work application by application, whereas Ardent works device by device, again, whether it's a desktop, server, real or virtual. We're delivering the whole device.
Yeah, it's a horizontal versus vertical kind of thing. So to that end, so my focus on Ardent when I wrote about it, a year ago was all about actually using it for your presentation servers themselves. Mm-hmm. So instead of using some kind of image management or some kind of gold image or RIS or whatever, you actually just boot these things to that shared disk image, and that way if you want to move them around silos, if you want to try a hotfix comes out, you boot one in the silo to a hotfix or whatever. So that was very interesting to me, and I almost didn't care about the fact that you sort of quote also works for desktops. That was cool in the context of I love the story about the company that has 4,000 users in their desk in their cubicles, and all the factory workers or all the office workers leave at 5 o'clock every night, and at 6 o'clock all the machines reboot and calculate financial futures for that company all night long, and at 6 a.m. they reboot again and go back into the local Windows desktop or whatever. So that was kind of a cool anecdotal story, but that was not so interesting to me. But a lot's changed in the past year. And first of all, I guess one could talk about VDI. Mm-hmm. I mean, VDI, of course, is certainly not new, but VDI has gotten to be more, legitimate almost. And I guess there's a big play there as well, because of course if you're talking about VDI, you're talking about managing desktops and managing disk images and all this kind of stuff, and that's where, you know, Ardence fits right into that stuff, I guess, as well. But my question is, so how are you handling it? Because, you know, you kind of started on desktops, then looking at servers, but now I guess when you're looking at Citrix, you almost have to tell them two stories about what you can do on the desktop side and what you can do on the server side.
Right. So one way to look at our roadmap, one way to put it in context, is that we have a three-phased approach to the roadmap over the next 3 to 5 years. The first phase is to attack deployments where there's common image, where the software stack is largely the same for a given deployment. So schools tend to have the same stack. Call centers tend to have the same stack. In the data center, you know, Citrix server farms tend to have very similar stacks. The next phase would be heterogeneous. So you're common image first, then you have heterogeneous where you have disparate images. And the third phase would actually be, and this is further down the line, a disconnected image. So if you look at the different types of computing, the third phase being disconnected would be like a laptop. We actually have a model where we could stream when a laptop is connected an image and then do a synchronization in the background. So when you're disconnected, you can actually have use of the most current standard image. But it's the infrastructure required to be able to dependably stream out the OS in that infrastructure is quite complex. And so we think we have the first mover advantage, that we are further down the path than anybody because we really understand this technology. We understand how to do the network boot. So now you're asking the question, we started on the desktops because that was where the low-hanging fruit was for us originally. We found lots of good places, like in call centers at Time Warner Cable or at schools. Again, it was pretty simple for us. But we found that every time we went to a different customer, they had a little bit different challenges. Sticking to the data center and working with Citrix under the covers with the CPS integration, or working with web server farms, those tend to be similar stacks, and we can more drop our product in as is and really have it work well. And that's kind of why we've kind of gone that way. It could be, too, that your white paper drove a lot of people to us.
Well, I'm sure that's the case.
Well, we depend on persistent connectivity from that device, server or desktop,
right,
to the image store in the back.
Right.
And you get great connectivity in the data center, and you've got that homogeneous farm, whether it's a terminal server farm, a CPS farm, or a web farm. And with that homogeneity, with that persistent connectivity, it's a very easy place to get started. So a lot of our customers have come to us and said, you know, we've looked at the soup to nuts. We understand what Ardence does. We understand where it applies. We understand it applies to our desktops. It applies to our data center infrastructure. We're going to start in the data center because we can realize a return more quickly on effort because we've got the infrastructure. And we'll phase two, go out and tackle all the challenges they have on the desktop.
So if that technology becomes a reality where you can use these offline, so what does that mean? And why would people want to do that?
Well, again, it comes back to if you really look down the future, what people really ultimately want, they don't care how they get their software. What they want to do is be able to plug their PC into something or just have turn it on and have it have the right software to do the right job at the right time. And you want to have that be in a manageable infrastructure. And so it's just, from our perspective, a better way, again, from the economics where you're booting from a single image and you can control that.
So I bring my laptop, I guess because, there's no reason that couldn't happen at the hypervisor level also, right? So I bring my laptop in and whatever you can kind of push, pull, drag, or carry across our network. And of course, because Citrix always talks about how they can protect the network from the asset to make sure that it meets minimum level of requirements and all that kind of stuff with their endpoint analytics and smart access and all that kind of stuff. So you bring kind of whatever piece of junk you have that meets some X requirements, plug it in, and there's no reason why you couldn't just stream down a hypervisor and an OS along with it. And then it tells them, okay, it's done. They can unplug now and they can run away and they can do that. And of course, then that OS within there could have presentation server applications and Citrix Stream server applications and all sorts of stuff.
So I think the whole industry recognizes, again, that we're converging on this notion of a utility. You just plug your glass in and you get the applications that you need. And there are many different solutions that are all striving to get to the same place. If you look at service-oriented architectures or Ajax technology, they're saying, hey, I'm going to stream out a applet to do the right, perform the function locally on that machine. So there's many different ways to get there. We just think that, the infrastructure, we deliver the infrastructure underpinning and manage the underpinning infrastructure, and then applications and other technologies like application streaming can deliver the whole package. And then this way, the economics become very compelling.
This would be kind of cool, and I guess in a VDI scenario also, where if a technology could be taken offline, you could see almost having like your VDI desktop that's running on a VM and some backend server be before you, and you're using it from a thin client, but then you could also sort of check out your VM,
right.
You know, take your own VM offline and sort of transfer it then to your clients, you know, stream it to your clients, and then use it on the airplane and everything.
There's still work to do, but it's operationally feasible today. You could demonstrate that capability today. But this just highlights the complexity of delivering applications to users. Regardless of the device, there's an OS on it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some truth that needs to be maintained about what level of OS you're going to let on your network. And that's really where I think we see, you know, the future, that the network holds the truth. The configuration of the OS and the applications resides there. Data resides there. And if you need to take it out for a while, just like you go to a library and check out a book, that's fine, but you got to bring it back.
Yeah.
And keep it in one place where the integrity can be maintained.
So you guys are all in Boston. You all live in Boston, I assume. Are y'all moving to Fort Lauderdale or?
No, we're going to
convert last
them.
Week.
So I think it's my understanding, and I'm new to Citrix, but fundamentally, what they're trying to do is build competency centers around the world. So they have a competency center in Florida. They've been acquiring companies in California, and now they're starting to acquire companies in the Boston area. And I think that you get a critical mass of developers, and you can really get some good talent, you know, all pulled together and exchange ideas. I think there's also a development center in Bangalore, India.
Cambridge in the UK.
Australia.
There's a very rich talent pool in the Northeast, in the Boston area, with the universities, with Harvard, with MIT, and all the other, the venture capital community is very active. There's a lot of innovation in the Boston area, and there always will be, and that's a place for Citrix to get to $1.5 to $3 billion. It needs access to that kind of talent in order to drive growth.
Citrix needs access. So you're getting the message right on after only 2 weeks or two months in it's been. So.
And I'm slow.
All right. Well, hey, I think we should wrap the conversation now, because I want to have maybe a separate conversation, kind of go deeper into some of the technology bits of this. But, just wanted to take a few minutes to kind of do an update of where Ardence was and how the merger was going and everything. So certainly, everyone, I thank you for taking the time. And
Thanks,
thank you very much, Brian.